Bible has not come, and we wonder just what tomorrow holds. Will our children know the freedoms that you and I have known, or will sin in our country take its toll? It's not because God left us, it's because
surrounding city and states, and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and especially at the end of the broadcast, answer our question of the day. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this program started off with the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many countries that are listening in. We know that, Lord Jesus, with that many countries, in your word, it says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And, Lord Jesus, we ask you to be in our midst tonight and take control of this here program. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus. We ask you to have your will and your way, Lord Jesus, especially for that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus. if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them in a special way. First off, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 right now as we speak, we ask you to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other wicked situations just like, Lord Jesus, that we read about in our newspapers, see on the television set, or hear on the radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you'd help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of. Then we're going to see who was with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast. So let's take care of these preliminary announcements as we get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line. And we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew. Could say her name, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-5. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. Take my heart.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God loved us, it's because we refuse to heed the mighty voice of
College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U Hall open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vestibula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com. That's PayPal.com. And in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Worth it. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, and Sister Emily, who do we got with us tonight?
Naturally, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. You, me, Ruth, and the Smurf Chaser.
All right. So, well, obviously, it doesn't look like we got too many that are going to be, we'll get your prayer request here in a second. But tonight, let me just give a quick outline of where we're going tonight. Tonight, we're going to be in David, Part 14, we've been discussing the life of David and also King Saul, but we've already found, we've gotten to the point where King Saul, just as he was getting into battle, getting ready, he had fought with, he was getting ready to fight the Philistines, and he went to the Witch of Endor, was where we left off with him. So we're up to that point in the story. So we've been studying the life of David. So Samuel had told him that he was going to be the very next day with him. We learned that that proves eternal security, that Saul was actually going to be going to heaven, not hell, as some believed. So we studied that out. So we're in David part 14 tonight. And in the midst of that, we're going to be finding out, does Pastor Bonnet get the good buzzer tonight and continue his little role, or does he get the bad buzzer? And in the case of the bad buzzer, he may choose to use sound effects that may affect those with PTSD, etc. We'll see how that goes. And then after we're done with David, part 14, Ruth is going to take us in Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
Pastor Bonnet.
That's the seven seals, Kenny.
Okay, the seven seals. I wonder if she's talking about those little animals out in the ocean tonight. Seven of those. Okay, we'll find out. if she's talking about those, and go, you know, seals. Okay, we'll see. If she's talking about those kind of seals or the Navy SEALs or what kind of seals she's talking about, the seven seals. So we'll find out tonight. Stay tuned for that. Then, of course, after that, we open our mics to answer our question of the day, as we always have, which has neither a right or wrong answer, just based upon you, our listeners, your opinion. You can answer that any way you like, and it's your own opinion, no right or wrong answer. Then we close with a word of prayer. Then we have a few closing comments, and then we end the show completely with our Red Sylvine song, as always. So, Emily, you got any prayer requests for us tonight? Come on, get your coffee.
I ain't got coffee in here.
Ah.
I got a pop in the bottle.
Ah. All right. So, any prayer requests?
For Sister Lila and Dad, because Sister Lila, just the 9th of this month, her father had passed.
Okay.
Also for Dad, because I know he hasn't been feeling so kosher here lately.
Well, he can't feel kosher. He's a pork chop. So if he was going to be kosher, he'd have to be a beef chop.
And also, you know, the usual for our first responders, our medical personnel. Also be keeping me in prayer tonight. I've been having a lot of physical issues going on.
Oh, so you got newspapers. Okay.
All right, Kenny, behave.
Or is it magazines that you got issues?
Kenny, would you behave tonight?
Hey, we got to liven up the show here.
Well, I just got to say one thing. Being Dad is on the show tonight. Dad, I love you even though you're my favorite Smurf chaser.
Yeah. Well, he's got to leave Smurfette alone.
Oh, my.
Smurfette hasn't done nothing to him. He's got to leave her alone.
Well, he likes Jason Clumsy Smurf and all the other ones, too.
Well, he's got to, he could go after Greedy Smurf and take all his goodies.
I think I better behave picking on Dad because I got to go home yet tonight, too.
Or he may, you keep on him, he'll press the number one and want to join in and get you.
That is my favorite Smurf chaser.
So, all right, so... Well, while he's thinking on pressing the number one, he could do that at the end of the show. Anybody ready for a good show tonight?
Yay!
As long as there's no brick thrown and it doesn't break no windows, I don't mind.
Well, tonight we'll be finding out. I'll just give you a heads up. Tonight we're going to find out how little David's little white lie comes to roost tonight. So...
Uh-oh.
So be paying attention for that. So if everybody's ready.
Let's do it.
Right.
Okay. So get out your pad, your pencil. Ruth, get out your slate and stylus. Emily gets out her Braille writer. And we're going to have a good show tonight. And if you missed some of the notes, go back. You could get the show by going to your podcast section of your smartphone or tablet and typing in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES space radio, RADIO. And once you type that in and hit enter, you'll see it pop up. And then you just click subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Also, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes. That's blogtalkradio.com/SIXEYES. And you can get these shows on demand anytime, day or night, and you'll be able to have your notes right there anytime, day or night. So here we go into our show tonight. Amen.
For those of you who called 424
424-3961-7 again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David and King Saul, what would you say was Saul's low point? Amen. But right now we're going to get into our study of David. This is part 14, and our first scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verses 1 through 11. 1 Samuel 29, verses 1 through 11. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
Now, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews hear?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day?" And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Achish called David and said unto him, "Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore, now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." And David said unto Achish, "But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the army, enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered and said to David, "I know that thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Wherefore, now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel.
Now remember I said, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, this is a sin that kind of comes home to roost. David, having lied to this king about when he went out to battle, sneaking out and killing and fighting against those who were in cahoots with the Philistines, but yet coming back king of Achish, saying, oh, I went out fighting battles for those who were your enemies. Now comes home to roost. Hello, David. Hello, David. Now it comes home to roost. See, not everybody bought into that line. And we're going to prove that tonight as we go through this text. So let's get into it, and we'll show you what we're talking about. With our first context, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. 1 Samuel chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and then the Israelites pitched by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward with Achish.
All right, the first thing we find out is the Philistines are ready to do battle with the Israelites. They're all encamped, ready for battle. And David and his men go with Achish, who is the Philistine king, and he comes in the back end with the army of the Philistines with Achish, and he's wanting to join into the battle. Now, he's trying to make off like, hey, I'm with you guys. I'm one of you. Does everyone buy it? We're going to find out with our next scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verses 3 through 5. 1 Samuel chapter 29, verses 3 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him, since he fell unto me unto this day? And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000.
This is what you call your reputation going before you. The other kings of the Philistines walk up to Achish and say, hold on, what are these Hebrews doing here? And especially David. Especially this guy named David. What's he doing here? Is this not the guy they sang about in dances? Saul slew his thousands, David his 10,000s. And basically, they probably also reminded him, isn't this the same guy that took our champion, slew him with a stone? Most likely, they brought that up too. I guarantee they probably brought up all of that to Achish. And saying, yeah, send him back to his place. Because what if he becomes an adversary against us and fights for Israel? And here he is, he'd be like a double agent against us. And then we end up being the ones hurt. Instead of him fighting for us, he's fighting against us. So these guys say, nah, we ain't going to have him in the battle with us because we don't want that. We ain't taking that chance. Well, yeah, he's been all this time with you, Akish, and he's been good. But that doesn't mean he won't turn on you like a snake. We're not taking that chance. Send him back to his place. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 29, verses 6 and 7. 1 Samuel 29, verses 6 and 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Achish called David and said unto him, Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore, now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines.
Well, Achish now comes to David. He says, hey, I know you've been upright with me. You've been good, little word, but ain't my fault, David. The other kings, they're pressing upon me. They say, now, we can't have him. You have to go back to your place. You have to go home. You can't fight and battle with him. It isn't that I don't like you. It's they don't favor you. They don't like you. They don't want you in the battle. They don't want you to fight with us. So that's what Achish tells. He lets him know that the other kings do not favor him. Amen. But right now we're headed into our recap of this half of the show. But first, I want to remind everybody where Pastor Bonnet has been, and he is, so far, 7 for 9 and one good buzzer in a row. Will he make it 8 for 10 and two good buzzers in a row? Or will he end up being 7 for 10 and one bad buzzer in a row? We're going to find out very soon, right after this recap, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verses 1 through 7. 1 Samuel 29, verses 1 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, What do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him, since he fell unto me unto this day. And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us, for wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said unto him, Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now, return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines.
And so we find that Achish had to follow his buddy's But at the same time, as we pointed out, David's little sneak lie, that little white lie, came home to roost. The other princes, the other kings of the Philistines, they hadn't bought into it. They said, hey, if he comes into battle, he might just fight against us. Why? Because they remembered his reputation about how he killed the Philistine, how he, Goliath that is, and how, oh, in dances they sang, Saul killed his thousands, David killed his 10,000. They remembered all that. And so they knew, wait a minute, this guy may not be all he's cracked up to be. So they had to tell Achish, wait a minute, buddy, don't bring him to battle with us, because he may not be all he's cracked up to be. So sometimes you may think your little white lie is going to trick some people, but it won't fool everybody. Amen. All right, but now it's time to turn the mic over to Pastor Bonnet and see if he can tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. He followed her to school each day. 'Twasn't even in the rule. He made the children laugh and play to have a lamb at school. And then the rules all changed one day. Illegal it became to bring the Lamb of God to school or even speak his name. Every day got worse and worse, and days turned into years. Instead of hearing children laugh, we heard gunshots and tears. What must we do to stop the crime that's in our schools today? Let the lamb come back to school and teach our kids to pray.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. Very good song and poem. I want to say I think the common message here is for us to pray, to carry the Lamb of God everywhere. That's all of us as sinners make our sin, which would keep us dirty, but with His love, His blood shed upon us, would clean us from all unrighteousness, which would make us white as snow, or purify, in other words. The common message here is we are to take the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, and we do that by praying and following the Word of God. We carry Him everywhere we go, and He will make us or clean us from our sin and make us white as snow or purify us. So that would be the common message between the song and the poem. Let's carry Jesus with us everywhere we go.
Well, and you got that 100% correct. We take the Lamb of God with us everywhere we go. Amen.
All right. We got another one right. Let's keep God with us in our heart so that we'll behave like we should. So thank you. A very good song and very great poem.
And with that, we're going to pause to hear a few great messages about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID along with that. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. I don't have much to bring.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God loves us, it's because we
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least,
It's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And we're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David and King Saul, what would you say was Saul's low point? In the life of David and King Saul, what would you say was Saul's low point? But right now, we're going to get back into our topic of David. This is part 14. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 29, verses 8 and 9. 1 Samuel 29, verses 8 and 9. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said unto Achish, but, Don, and what hast thou find in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle.
All right, now before the break, we found how that we were talking about David's lie coming home to roost. Well, now we find here that Achish is explaining to David, no, it's not me. It ain't that I don't want you to go up, David, to battle. It's the lords of the Philistines. It ain't that I don't want you to go. It's they don't want you to go. So let's not get them all in a dither. Just do as I ask. Because what was he doing? He was trying to follow his buddies, the other Philistine lords, because he didn't want to get in trouble. Achish didn't want to get in trouble either. So that's why he was following the crowd of the other Philistines and not allowing David to go to the battle. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 29, verses 10 and 11. 1 Samuel 29, verses 10 and 11. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Wherefore now, rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel.
And so we find that David listened to Achish, and he went back to his place the next day, and the Philistines went on to go do their little battle. Amen. All right, now we're going to recap this half of the show by going to 1 Samuel 29, verses 8 to 11. 1 Samuel 29, verses 8 through 11. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now, rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel.
And so we find here, of course, the Achish telling David, why he could not go to the battle, and then, of course, David obeying his voice and going to his place. Now we're going to recap the whole show by going into 1 Samuel 29, verses 1 through 11. 1 Samuel 29, verses 1 through 11. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews hear?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day?" And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us, for wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Achish called David and said unto him, "Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go to in peace, that thou dispense not the lords of the Philistines." And David said unto Achish, "But what have I done, and what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered and said to David, "I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Wherefore now, rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel.
And so the take-home message for the whole night is, you may think that little white lie, you may have gotten away with it, but trust me, somebody will catch you up in it. Amen. All right, now we're going to pause to hear a few messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen. But before we have those few messages, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one during the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David and King Saul, what would you say was Saul's low point? What would you say was Saul's low point? Amen. But right now, we are going to pause for those few messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Colliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
Yeah, I want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1Katie, KATIE, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Astabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells us of the day when the beast shall walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. as lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Run along, let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame of sorrow goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seams are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is the seventh seal. If a person understands the three sevenths of the book of Revelation, it's a fairly good overall comprehensive view of the entire prophetic plan as outlined in God's holy word, the Bible. When I say the three and sevenths, I mean the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of the book of Revelation. The first four seals of Revelation chapter 6 are spoken of as four horses. As we look around the world scene today, we are able to observe the first four seals of the book of Revelation in operation, even if only on a limited scale. These four seals, spoken of as horses, are beginning to take their mournful toll throughout the earth. May I caution and comfort you by telling you that there are those who teach that the seals will not come off until after the rapture of the church. We have every reason to believe, according to worldwide circumstances and situations today, that the first four seals are already off, and conditions in the world relative to these four seals, or horses, as John called them, will continue to grow to such an acute point that Christians are going to become discouraged and overcome with sadness, sorrow, and gloom, yes, to such an extent that they'll be downhearted, as the Bible tells us. And when these things, the things mentioned in the book of Luke, together with the four seals of the book of Revelation, begin to come to pass, and look up and lift up your heads for your redemption, meaning the translation of the born again of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, draweth nigh. Luke 21:28 in the KJV. Then we read in the book of 1 Corinthians a statement which I have found very comforting as I have observed the continual onslaught of persecution prevailing in the world. This portion of scripture by the great apostle Paul says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you are able to bear, but will with the temptation, testing, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians 10:13. From the great and calamitous events and circumstances and bodies of first four seals or horses of the book of Revelation, namely, number one, the spirit of dictatorship or antichrist, the the Red Horse War, the Black Horse Famine, and 4, the killing of a fourth part of the people of the earth by the Pale Horse Death, with multitudes of them being scooped into hell, we can see that dark and trying times are surely upon the world in a magnitude never before experienced by human beings. We know that God is not going to allow us to be defeated during the time of trouble that is coming upon the earth. The Bible tells us in no uncertain manner that we're going to be removed from the earth before the going gets too tough, or it becomes absolutely impossible for us to live a victorious Christian life for our blessed Savior. Let us be comforted with these 2 verses from God's Word. Scripture, I know thy works, the church of Philadelphia, present church age. Behold, I, Christ, have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept thy word, my word, and hast not denied my name. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, tribulation period, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's Revelation 3:8-10 in the KJV. Regarding the 5th seal, the Bible says the people who give their testimony after the church is raptured will be killed, but they will be saved to go to paradise because they gave out their testimony, the last breath in their bodies. Scripture, and when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Revelation 6:9-11. In these 3 verses of Scripture, we have the 5th seal. The 5th seal is a time of martyrdom of those people who lived on the earth during the church age. They heard the gospel preached. Many of them made professions of faith and were members of local churches. But when the rapture takes place, because they were not really born again, they were left behind to go into the tribulation period. After they missed the rapture, they realized they were not born again, although they had been members of churches, were baptized, took communion, sang in the choir, deaconed on the deacon board, and so forth. Many of them are the people who will take their stand for God during the 5th seal, and the only way they could possibly be saved is by permitting themselves to be put to death. We understand this more fully in the light of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, where we read, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:9-13. We come to the 6th chapter of Revelation, verse 9-11. We see in the 5th seal a great host of people who have permitted themselves to be put to death. In order to more completely understand why they were put to death, we turn to the 20th chapter of Revelation and read as follows. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, in which they had worshipped the beast, Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. Revelation 20, verse 4. See, if you're left at the time of the tribulation, do not take the mark. You're going to hell then. There's no change in anything. So from 3 widely separated portions of Scripture, we see that through and during the 5th seal, there's going to be worldwide persecution and punishment unleashed upon any individual, regardless of whether it be Jew or Gentile, who professes Jesus Christ. Matthew in his gospel tells us only those who endure unto the end will be saved. By the end, he means those who continue giving out their testimony until the end of the breath in their nostrils. In other words, as long as an individual is living during the tribulation period, he's not saved. He's saved the moment his physical life is taken away from him, because that is the end. In Revelation 20, we read that those people are going to be saved only by enduring into the end and permitting or suffering the excruciating pain of allowing their heads to be cut off. This may sound rather gory to you, but that is the way they will be saved during the 5th seal at the time of the Antichrist's 42-month reign. By allowing their heads to be separated from the rest of their bodies, at that point they will continue to give out their testimony that they will actually be saved and their spirits will be received in paradise underneath the altar before the throne of God. All I can see in front of the world at this present time is a continual picture of suffering and universal chaos. Believe me, there are no soft times ahead for any person who professes Christ, especially those who are truly born again and are endeavoring at all costs to live the victorious life for Jesus Christ here on the earth. We've seen so far in our dealing with the seven seals that the first seal is the spirit of dictatorship, Antichrist, which has already come upon the earth. The second seal is the spirit of war, and we ourselves know that the better part or the majority of the nations of the earth are today preparing for war. Third seal is the black horse, which is famine. Half of the world population goes to bed hungry every night. In the last 3 years, through total careful count, we've seen that multiplied thousands of people throughout Asia, South America, and China have died because of a lack of food. Truly, the black horse of famine is galloping throughout the earth. The fourth seal, we have seen that one quarter of the earth is going to suffer death. In other words, this pale horse whose rider is death and who is followed by hell is to gallop throughout a quarter of the earth's surface in the last days, killing with the sword, with hunger, and with death. Carefully scrutinizing the fifth seal, which is commonly known as the martyrdom of the saints. They are actually not saints until after they've martyred, because the people who are saved during the period of time known as the fifth seal will only be saved as their physical strength or life is leaving their bodies. It's that time that white robes were given unto every one of them. So we can see that great calamitous times of international chaos are to continually sweep over the world's horizons till such time of trouble will be manifesting itself upon the earth that it were not for the goodness and the grace of God Almighty, no flesh could possibly be saved. Borne out in Matthew, where we read, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Matthew 24:21. My advice to any person who's not born again would be that you join or find a secluded place at your home, shop, or wherever you may be listening to this. Get down on your knees and pour out your heart to God, confessing yourself a sinner, reporting of your sins, and asking God Almighty to have mercy upon your soul and save you for Jesus Christ's sake. The fifth seal will come off, and unless you're actually born again, you're going to enter into the Antichrist kingdom, and if you are saved in that kingdom, you're going to have to endure the severing of your head from your body unless you accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior now. How much easier is it to accept him now by faith? Place your hand by faith in the nail-scarred hand of the blessed Savior. I'm glad I did on June 20th, 1974. Praise his name. When the Apostle John was caught up to heaven, he saw a sealed book in the hand of God, and then he saw Jesus Christ come and take that sealed book. Later he observed the Lord Jesus Christ remove the first seal, which was the spirit of dictatorship, coming forth into the earth and overspreading the entire world system of government, eventually terminating or culminating in the great satanic antichrist in the book of Revelation. John then saw Christ remove the second seal, which was described as a red horse, or the spirit of war coming upon the earth, and peace being removed entirely to the governments of the world. When the third seal was removed, we saw that famine quickly began to spread throughout many parts of the world, even to the point that a day's wage was paid for a loaf of bread. John next observed the fourth seal being removed, and he saw a fourth part of the men of the earth being killed with famine, with sword, by suicide, or by the wild beasts of the earth. Also, John noticed, in connection with the fourth seal, that death was rampant throughout a fourth part of the earth, and Hades and hell followed after death, scooping up those who had fallen prey to the fourth seal or the pale horse. Also, we've seen that the rapture of the church will, in all probability, take place sometime during the fourth seal. It cannot take place after the fourth seal because those people who are martyred during the fifth seal are those who missed the rapture and are left behind. Because they give out their testimony and profess Christ during the fifth seal, they are beheaded and put to death. Today, we see conventions growing very acute to the point that born-again people are already becoming discouraged and downhearted. So their heads are bowed down under the weight of a great inner spiritual load. Even though it is going to become very difficult to live for the Lord, God has promised to keep us and not test or tempt us above that which we are able to bear. Okay, scripture, "I know thy born again ones works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee, the church, the born-again ones, from the hour of temptation, tribulation period, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Revelation 3:8-10. And of course, that's in King James Version. We have every scriptural right, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to expect the drawing near of the rapture of the church, when all of the born-again will be taken out of the world. The Bible says that after the rapture, all hell will be let loose. People will have to take the mark of the beast on their right hands or on their foreheads or in order to enter into any of the marketplaces to buy or sell. After the rapture, the people who have also bowed down to worship the image of the Antichrist, they do either one, that's either receive the mark of the beast or bow down and worship the Antichrist. Bible says that God will damn those souls. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 14, 9 and 10 in King James Version. During the fifth seal, death will be rampant over a great portion of the earth. This actually begins in the fourth seal, but it is accelerated during the fifth seal because of the beheading of the slaughter of multiplied thousands who will profess Christ at that time. Now here's the scripture. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. Revelation 20, verse 4. So John says that when he saw the fifth seal opened, he saw up in paradise the souls of them slain for the word of God and their testimony which they had given out. First paradise was originally located in the lower regions of the earth. People who went to paradise before Jesus Christ came and died on Calvary's cross went to the first paradise, which was separated from the first hell by a deep gulf. This gulf is mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. The Bible tells us in Luke 16 that the rich man looks across the great gulf and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Luke 16, 23. And Jesus Christ in his resurrection went down into the earth, according to the Apostle Paul, and led captivity forth captive. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up for above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. First paradise was located in the lower regions of the earth. Everybody who had died from the time of Adam, looking forward to Calvary and the sacrificial death of the Paschal Lamb of God, went into the first paradise inside the earth. But, according to the book of Ephesians, after Christ's resurrection, he went down into the lower parts of the earth, and all of those souls awaiting in the first paradise were removed, and they were taken up into the third heaven to a second paradise, which had been receiving the souls of those born-again ones who had died since Calvary. Those who were in the first paradise were separated from God, awaiting the time when Christ would overcome death. When Christ died, never before having sinned, he died for everyone who looked forward by faith to his first coming. He died for all those who would look back by faith to his death and resurrection. Therefore, Christ had the divine right and godly authority to go down into the earth and lead those people in the first paradise, being held captive away from captivity, and take them up to the third heaven underneath the altar before the throne of God, where the second paradise was established. Here's one verse of scripture to show you, according to the Bible, that the second paradise is now in operation, and people in this day and age who die in Christ go to the second paradise and not to the old original first paradise. Scripture, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Revelation 6, 9. In other words, this verse of scripture in the book of Revelation tells us that John looked into the third heaven when the fifth seal was opened, and he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. The first paradise inside the earth was evacuated at Jesus Christ's resurrection because he had the supreme power to overcome death and the grave, and he alone possessed the right to take those godly captives who were being held in the first paradise up to the second paradise in the third heaven underneath the altar of God or throne of God. During the fifth seal, it's into the second paradise up in heaven when the Apostle John looked and saw the souls of the martyred saints who were killed during the tribulation period. The only souls that John saw in that particular compartment were those who were slain for the word of God. John didn't see the soul of Billy Sunday, neither the soul of Mr. Moody, nor the soul of Sam Jones, or that of Jonathan Edwards, or George Whitfield, etc. He saw only the souls of those who were beheaded during the tribulation period under the fifth seal. Therefore, it's proof positive that all the souls which had been going to the second paradise since the first paradise was emptied at Christ's resurrection was removed out of that particular compartment at the time of the rapture. In other words, at the time of the rapture, these souls up in the second paradise well, I should say spirits up in the second paradise, will leave and come back down to the earth and will again be joined to their bodies, which will be resurrected and changed, and they will be caught up in the air to go to the judgment, their works, and later into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Second paradise will be vacated at the time of the rapture of the church. In other words, the souls of those Christians who are dying daily now and the souls of those martyred during the fifth seal are never congregated in the second paradise at the same time. What will happen when the rapture takes place is that Christ, our high priest, will come in the air, the shout will be given, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead bodies of all those spirits, the saved people, who are in paradise shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and they together with those Christian people living on the earth at that time, be caught up into the air to meet Christ above the clouds of glory, or go to the judgment of their works, and later into the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we see the first paradise was originally located inside the earth, but that particular compartment was closed up and not used anymore after Jesus Christ's resurrection from the grave. For almost 2,000 years, the departed souls and spirits of the Christians who've fallen asleep since the resurrection, Christ from the dead, have been going to the second paradise. That's why the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. In other words, they're absent from their physical bodies, but their souls and spirits are up in the second paradise, underneath the altar of God in the presence of God. We see in our study of the seven seals of the book of Revelation many minute things about God's word of which we possibly haven't been able aware in the past. That's why I said if you understood the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of Revelation, you would have a complete bird's-eye view of God's entire prophetic plan from the book of Genesis through and including the book of Revelation. We now come to the sixth seal, at which time the Bible tells us there's going to be a great earthquake strike the earth. And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island are removed out of their places. Kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:12-17. You'll note when the sixth seal is taken off, a great earthquake rumbles throughout the earth, and various disarrangements of the heavenly bodies take place, such as the sun becoming black and the whole disk of the moon becoming like blood. The stars up in the sky will fall to the earth, and the darkness that surrounds the earth is to be removed, and all the people living in the Antichrist kingdom will look into heaven and see the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father. You can imagine the awful fright of those people when the sixth seal is opened and all those terrible calamities occur, not only on the earth but up in the heavens. Including the removing of the darkness that surrounds the earth, those people will see the sky being rolled together as a scroll and passing away. Also, the great earthquake striking the earth will cause every island and mountain to be removed out of its place. You know how the newspapers report on earthquake when it comes to strikes the earth today. A little rumble goes through a certain part of the earth, and almost every newspaper writes it up. So large proportions, it gets headlines for a week or so. The Bible says every island and mountain will be moved out of its place during the sixth seal. Because the darkness is rolled away and the people on the earth look up into heaven, they'll run into the mountains, the dens, the fallout shelters, the cellars, the civil defense places of shelter, basements of the big buildings of the cities, and cry out for the mountains and rocks to fall on them. Because they'll be looking into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for them, the one whom they have denied all the days of their lives, or else they wouldn't be living in the Antichrist kingdom. Please remember, all of these chaotic calamities take place during the sixth seal. When the sixth seal takes place, the rapture of the church has already occurred. Those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have been washed, well, white by the blood of the Lamb, are on up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're up there at the wedding feast of the Lamb, enjoying the magnificent heavenly blessings of God and his beloved Son, the heavenly bridegroom. But down here on the earth, the population will be suffering the pangs of the untold miseries, the many calamities that will be striking the earth. Please do not be here on the earth for such a time as will take place during the sixth seal. Imagine what joy it will be, part of the bride of Christ, as she is at the wedding feast during the opening of the sixth seal. choice that confronts you today is if you can be at one place or the other. That is, you could be up in heaven with the marriage supper, or you could be here on the earth during the sixth seal. Decision depends on you. You could say yes, and you'll be in heaven, or you could say no, and you'll be here on the earth to go through the tribulation period. Decision is up to you. When we come to the seventh seal, immediately after the sixth, we read, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Revelation 8 and verse 1. Of course, in your King James Version. So you see here another great catastrophe, and that complete silence. In other words, after the six previous seals have been all been opened, and each one of them is right as this catastrophe, then God reverses the order of things, and the seventh seal is a complete period of silence. God is immediately going to sound forth the seven trumpets of Revelation, at which time seven other great catastrophes are going to strike the inhabitants of the earth. I beg you, make sure above every other thing in this life that you are ready and waiting and watching for the second coming of our blessed Savior so that you can escape all the tremendous chaotic conditions which are to come upon the earth, even beginning to come in our day now. The next lesson will be the seven trumpets.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the seven seals. Amen. And, of course, you did not tell us about those animals in the ocean. You told us about the seven seals. Amen. But right now we're going to pause for a few messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, then on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God left us, it's because we
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. But what you really want? The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Lord, hallelujah. We're back, and I want to remind those who call 424 243-9617, again, 424 1-800-242-4396-17. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David and King Saul, what would you say was Saul's low point? In the life of David and King Saul, what would you say was Saul's low point? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right. And Emily, who do we got with us tonight?
As usual, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you, me, Sister Ruth, the Smurf Chaser, and Smurfette.
Okay. And, well, anybody wanting to ask any questions or give any comments? We'll...
I just opened Smurfette's mic.
All right. We'll start with her.
Hey, Miss Mary Wolfgang. Hey, Sister Ruth. Hey, Sister Emily.
All right. Well, start with the question, Lila. First, the question of the day. Now, how much do you know about the life of David and King Saul?
That's a good question. I really don't know that much. Really,
okay, well, then
not
you,
at all.
Okay, well, then you probably wouldn't be able to tell us about King Saul's low point, okay? So we'll excuse you from the question of the day.
Okay.
But do you have any questions or comments on the material we presented tonight?
I do have a quick question for you and Sister Ruth, though.
All right.
Mainly you, though, Missionary Wolfgang. If you
All
could
right.
email me the verses on that, that would be appreciated.
Well, actually, Lila, I'm going to tell you a better way to get the information and the verses we used. As I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you've got two options. There's two ways you could go about this. First on the podcast, the first on if you got a smartphone or tablet, a smartphone or tablet, you could go to the podcast. You could go to the podcast section of your smartphone or tablet, and you click in the search box and you type in six eyes, SIXEYES space radio, RADIO. And then once you do that, it should pop up there with the Six Eyes logo, okay?
Yeah.
And then you go up in the upper right-hand corner, and you click subscribe, and you'll have tonight's show as well as all the other shows that we have here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Another option you have is you go to your internet browser, okay? Like on your laptop, whatever. And you go in the search bar, like where you would type google.com, and you type the following website, www.blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes, SIXEYES. And then when you do that, it takes you to the Six Eyes radio page. And you'll be able to
I think I did subscribe to the podcast already for Six Eyes Radio.
Well, if you did, then you should
Google,
be able to get
though.
Lila, then you should be able to get tonight's show. As soon as the show is done airing tonight, it should come right to you, okay?
Okay.
So if you've already subscribed, you will get tonight's show as well as every show. As soon as they're done, it will come to you. Also, you can get them on Apple. You can also get them on Apple Podcasts, iTunes. So there's lots of ways of getting Six Eyes Radio, okay?
Even on Google, right?
On Google Play, on the Google Play Store, that's where you get Six Eyes Radio, okay?
Yeah.
So, okay, now we are going to see Emily. Let's see what she does with our question of the day.
What's that, Kenny?
Question of the day. In the life of David and King Saul, what would you say was King Saul's low point?
Oh, Lord, help me. Wasn't it King Saul that kept on going after the other guy?
Yeah, King Saul is the one that went after, kept going after David, trying to kill him.
I think his low point was being hard-headed and not listening to God.
Okay. And then did you have any question on the material we presented?
Nope.
Okay. Now, Ruthie, your turn.
All right.
Ruth, what would you say was Saul's low point?
I didn't like when he dealt with that witch of Endor.
I would have to agree with Ruthie. The lowest point that Saul had, even after all that he did with David,
yeah,
was when finally he was faced with the Philistines the day before his death, since he could not hear from God, and he finally decides what? He turns to the devil. He turns to the devil for answers, and he calls upon the witch of Endor. I'd have to say that was definitely as low as you can get.
Oh, yeah.
So that's as low as you go. When you start going to witchcraft and sorcerers and mediums to get your information, when you start relying on tarot cards and soothsayers and spiritualists and fortune tellers, when you're going that far and not relying on God for answers and prayer, but you're relying on all these fortune tellers and stuff to tell you your future, you've gotten as low as you can get. So
that's about it, sweetie.
That's what we have. All right. So if everybody's good, we are going to sit here and twist Ruthie's arm for a closing prayer.
Oh, you mean I got off the hook tonight?
Hey, you don't behave, Emily, I'll change my mind.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think I better behave being the smart chasers on the line. Otherwise, I'll be in hot water when I get home.
Right.
So here's River.
We must have praised your name, Lord, for the program, and hopefully somebody got saved or healed or whatever. Everybody needs you now, sweet Lord. We just want to thank and praise your name. We love you, Lord, so much. Amen.
All right, and now we got just the last few announcements, and then we'll head right into our Red Sylvine song and close out the show for tonight. Amen.
Where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc. And children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself, face or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater, from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 you would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hold everything till I come home, no matter how long I'm gone. Don't be tempted by the money and booze, nobody's gonna fill my shoes. When I get back, I won't even knock, cause the same old key fits the same old lock. Hold everything till I come home, no matter how long I'm gone. Hold everything till I come home, no matter how long I'm gone. Don't try to sell our little old shack, just keep it till I get back. Just keep everything in the apple shape. If you feel too brisky, just put on the brakes. Hold everything till I come home, no matter how long I'm gone.
Hold everything till I come home.